Welcome to the Ohana Life Podcast. I created this podcast to provide important information that would empower you on this journey of life that we are all in together. I bring to you people that I found extremely helpful to me or are an inspiration in some unique way. I try to combine my knowledge and questioning with the way they serve society in their distinct roles. It takes a team, a holistic family of support to feel whole in our lives. I wanted to give them a larger voice to explain what they do and why. I'm a very curious person and like to learn, observe, critically think, and engage. The best knowledge I receive is the ideas that I can use immediately, and I hope that you find that with these episodes. I personally am a movement educator, and each student is my mirror. They teach me about how I use words and how their bodies react to certain scenarios in a playful, safe space. I like to make sure they feel grounded and ready for what life has to offer. Life can be hard, and we can never know what to expect day to day, and I like to prepare them for real life scenarios. Students show me where my level of compassion is at as I watch the stories of their lives unfold with each and every movement. It is a play and a delicate dance of intuition as we work together so that they get the most out of each hour that we're together. I wanted to extend that into these one-hour podcast episodes and have some idea of other ways life can be beautiful and you can shine in all scenarios, living life with grace and tenderness. These episodes do take some time to create, finding the right person, hoping they say yes, sorting, researching, and gathering the topics and questions I want to ask, getting it published, and then releasing it in hopes that you are inspired after a short hour's time. I hope that you share it with others, research what these leaders provide, and can find hope in difficult situations, whether it be movement, daily interactions, past dilemmas, and future ones to come. In this episode, I interviewed Deb Connor. Deb is a student of Ohana. She came to class initially in June of 2021, being a little hesitant about what we did and what yoga was all about. I am always so appreciative of people stepping outside of their comfort zone and trusting me with their physical and mental health. I had had an idea about wanting to be available to answer questions from a student's perspective and air it for you all. She was new enough that she didn't have any prior experience, but took enough classes to really have a good idea of the mix and flavor of what we offer. I had figured she would be a perfect candidate to have a nice, candid informational session about what I do in classes in case people were unsure or scared to try. I like to serve the greater good, work with people on a long-term care plan, explain in detail the mechanism of our nervous system, and gather ways to ground and reduce physical and mental stressors. I enjoyed this quite a bit and think we will do it more often. It was easier for me to take the time to sit and explain more of what I do instead of trying to fit it all in while teaching, moving, looking around at students in class, and managing Zoom. This will officially be a series where we will continue to unfold what I do and the whys. I'm going to put her email in the show notes so that you can email her directly and ask on your behalf anonymously. That way you can get the most out of this series. I am excited to veer off a bit and sprinkle these in so that I can continue to help people in another avenue. Please do ask questions, enjoy, and I love you all.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So I wanted to try to do this informational, informative series for people and have the first one start out where you would help people. And I wanted to use you because for a couple of reasons. So one is I kind of knew about you, but I didn't know you that well. And now I know you more. And you have been in kind of the physical world for a while. You know, you do a lot of things physically, but you had never really done yoga, I don't think, had you?
No, I had never done yoga before. So before coming, I think that my first class was in July. I had never taken a class before.
Okay. So you're new to yoga, but you've taken enough with me that you sort of have a feel of like how I teach, but you're still new to it enough that, you know, so now we're what, 6, 7 months in, you're new to it enough that you might have questions still, or sort of like, you know, have this like new fresh mind to yoga. So I thought you'd be like a perfect candidate for this type of interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the way I thought we'd set it up is that maybe you ask questions to me first, and then I'll ask you some questions maybe that sort of you can tell me about what you've learned. Because what I want to do is get this to a point where people start to understand like how I teach, how it's a little bit different than just regular yoga, and maybe how it can benefit a lot of people who just move, like just moving in general.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So I think like you mentioned, I had never done yoga, but I've been doing CrossFit for about 6 or 7 years now. And I had gotten to the point where I'd sort of injured myself and knew that I needed to do some more mobility and flex and improve my flexibility. And I think what's really been surprising to me is I sort of had in my head what yoga was. And I think what you teach is not really what I had in my head, which is what has really opened my eyes to what the opportunities are. And I think the preventative stuff that you do, whether, you know, that's the stuff that I find the science side of it to be super interesting. And so I guess like, it's the stuff like, you know, when you talk about like the lymphatic system and the importance of moving stuff, you know, don't let things just like sort of stay, but like having it move throughout your whole body. So I guess that would be where I would start, would be like, if you could explain a little bit more about why you start class that way, how you have us start our lymphatic system is sort of like one of the first things you have us do in class most days.
Okay. I love it. Yay. This is a great start. Okay. So I don't always start with the lymphatic, but most of the times I do. And it's just a matter of, so for people that don't know what the lymphatic system, it's just the system that kind of carries our waste out of our body. And so we need that system to kind of work all the time, right? Because it's carrying everything out of the body. But if it gets blocked in any way, then it almost sits like sludge. And I always use it as an example, like if you had a fish tank and the lymphatic system was the part of the fish tank, it would be the pipes and like the pumps. And so if those didn't work, it wouldn't matter if you change the water, change the fish, the water's still going to get icky in there. So we have to be able to like clean out the pipes. And one of those ways is to move. And it's old calisthenic moves like jumping jacks, marching in place, kind of hopping, skipping, jumping, these type of movements that are going to help kickstart those lymph nodes. So we have a bunch of them from the neck up. A third of them from the neck up. And because so many of them are there, that's usually where people are a little stiff when they first wake up in the morning or just stiff in general. And if we sit and are stagnant too long in the day, what's the first thing we do? We kind of move our shoulders and we kind of want to tip and turn our head. And that's why it's like the body's way of saying like, get up and get to do these things. So instead of us warming up, like a lot of yoga is sun salutations, but I look at like our modern world and, you know, we're not doing stuff on our hands. So weight bearing on the hands first thing is like a little tough, right? Some people, they're in shoes all the time, like men that work outside that are wearing like huge boots and things, like for them to child's pose actually can be excruciating on the feet. So to be doing all these things kickstarting, it's just a lot to kind of kick in the whole body. So I like to start with just things like we windmill the arms or we turn the head. I mean, I think that's why a lot of yoga starts with like head circles and head turns and head tilts, because that's probably the best way to get that part moving and then ask for it everywhere else. So there's, you know, the larger ones under the arms, behind the knees, at the groins, those are the bigger ones we want to work at. And a lot of the lymphatic can be moved too on your own, like if you dry brushed, you know, just like moving on the skin, or some people do like an Abhyanga massage. That's like putting oil on your skin. And again, it's this like massage up and through into the lymph nodes. That's another way of doing it. Move. So anything that's kind of like moving the body physically, we just have to do it on our own. So that's why we add it. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. I went to a chiropractor once who talked a lot, was a holistic, talked about the holistic side of it, and actually recommended, one of those mini trampolines I think for that same reason, because, because I have a desk job, I can sit up towards 9 hours a day. So like I have to consciously remind myself, that's why I wear a watch that tells me to stand up, because otherwise I could go for, 2 or 3 hours of just sitting without movement. And so I think that's what I found to be one of the most interesting parts about taking class with you, is that whole, the necessary movement to not just be physically well, but the importance of the internal piece, like moving that lymphatic system is so important.
I think people don't know. Right.
What
we can't see, we don't pay as much attention to, and it's not a piece that we can see. And sometimes, people go to these hands-on specialists that might get a little too aggressive with the lymph nodes, and then the lymph nodes kind of flap in the opposite way. And then it's like you're actually recirculating the wrong way. It can actually be kind of dangerous. So anything where we're pumping on our feet or pumping the arms or bouncing, things like that are like the best for it. And we can do that, ourselves. And the guy I learned this from, I asked him, like, how often do we have to do this or how long? And he said, it's not how long as much as how often. Mm. So if you spend, 10 seconds multiple times throughout the day, just bouncing a little bit or doing something different, it just gets that system. It's the only system in the body that needs our help, where we have to physically be part of it. We have to move. Yeah. And moving is what helps. Yeah. I mean, walking is great for it too, but we can't walk, all the time, but you could certainly, sometimes you see those people who get up and they just kind of walk around their desk, 2-3 times like that, that helps too. But yeah. I think definitely the bouncing off the feet or pumping off the feet works. And if that's not something someone can do with their ankles, certainly the pumping the arms or just moving the head quickly side to side.
So is there a direct correlation between, ensuring a good movement of your lymphatic system with boosting your immunity, like, fighting off common cold or any of that type of stuff that people see?
Ooh, that's a good question, Deb. It's sort of related in that if you're backed up with your sludge, of course your immune system is going to feel somewhat compromised, right? Because it's not flowing freely. But breath, good breath contributes to that. So there's a lot more that contribute to the immunity of the body. But it could be a piece. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Cool.
That's a really good question.
The next topic would be more on sort of the preventative, like what you do to ensure that people are still able to move into their 60s, 70s, late 70s, 80s, so that, you can still function to, do things as simple as sit down on the toilet and get back up. And, if you fall, you have the ability to get back up. So like, is that something that you've always focused on, or why? Like, I think it's like, I really like that portion. I think one of the best classes that we had recently was when we were sort of practicing falling, like falling and catching ourselves at different angles. And so I just wanted to hear more, why you focus on that sort of preventative piece.
Yeah. So I've taught for almost 20 years. So I have definitely not focused on that initially, but I think, every student that comes in is my teacher back, right? They're like reflecting back to me what I'm teaching. And then my words to them show me how my words affect them, right? So I've learned over the years that there's not everything that everyone can do. And again, with our modern society, people are coming in and being able to do less and less and less to start. And so I don't know where along the way, I guess I decided that I wanted people to be able to just manage like day to day. I think it's just like the older we get, the more we see older people. You know, mm-hmm. I think when we were younger, we didn't care about it as much. Or not care, but it just didn't like affect us. I think that we see there's like a little less years ahead than there were behind, you know? So then we start to focus on like, well, how would I be with that? And I think I just sort of started to look at, you know, what's the big thing that I want to be able to always do? And it's get up and down from the floor. And we do that with our kids, right? We did it when they were little, but then like at some point we stop and then we'll have grandkids eventually, Deb. Yeah. We're gonna have these grandkids. And then like we don't want to start all over of like learning how to get up and down from the floor. And then when the grandkids grow, okay, then you wait until you actually fall on the floor. It's not like it just doesn't seem like a good plan. And so I want to look at it as like, what are we prepping for? And we're prepping for life. And so I want people to understand like everything. I want people to understand like every single movement we do in class directly correlates to every hobby, activity, movement they do in life. And so whether that be skiing, whether that be cycling, whether that be walking, whether it be working, you know, it has some correlation to, okay, well, if in class, it's harder for me to get up on my left side than my right, like, why is that? Like, right. What am I doing during my day that's causing that? It could be that literally every time you get out of bed, you step on the same foot. It could be that every time you cross your legs at your desk, it's always the same way. Every time you put on your pants, it's the same exact way, which is fine. It's just that the other side is eventually not going to work as well as it did before. And right. Then we start to see these discrepancies, and discrepancies are fine as long as you can live with it and you don't have pain. But that's not usually the case. Usually the case is that a lot of people are in pain, people are uncomfortable, and the discrepancies get worse and worse and worse until like one side is like not functioning as well at all compared to the other side, you know? And I just believe that everybody could benefit from being able to get up and down from the floor, everybody, because a lot of injuries for older people are when they can kind of get up when they fall, but then they fall back down, or the process of trying to get up is what causes more injury. Yeah. Does that answer?
Yeah, no, that does. Cause I think, you know, I think a lot of what you do in class has to do with, is that preventative? It is that joint health. It's, you know, you talk a lot about, you know, getting the gunk out, making sure that you're moving in the socket, whether it be your hip socket or your shoulder, you know? And so I think that all sort of plays into, you know, having that freedom within your joints allows you to freely move and allows you to prevent future injury, you know, when you are older. So, you know, sort of as a compounding thing, what starts as, you know, a knee issue, you then, it turns into a hip issue because you start to favor your your left knee, so that it impacts your hips. And so before you know it, you have older people that need, you know, a hip replacement, but it could have actually started from an issue that they had at their ankle when they were younger or whatever. Yes. So like, I think that it's good that you focus all the way from the ankle all the way up, you know, and how they all are so interrelated.
They're all really, I mean, we want the whole body to work well, but it's hard when individual parts don't. So then our body is smart. It's going to force us to move the way we want to. It's just going to start to recruit and recruit and recruit. And over time, it just recruits so much. And then those areas aren't supposed to work that those ways. And then they just start to get beat up and tired and stiff and, you know, sometimes weak because they're overused in the wrong ways. But I think actually going back to like when you said, why did I start doing this? I think it was because I had maybe about 15 years ago, all these clients, women that were having hip replacements. And I thought, this can't be, you know, just a thing. I mean, it can't be that you just get to a certain age and then all of a sudden you have a hip replacement. So I started researching it much further and much deeper. And, you know, that's when I came across all of this. It's like, well, it's not necessarily that we're all born with bad hips and then the hips are all going to go downhill as soon as we get older. It's that we're not using the hips in the right way, or we're overusing in these sports. You know, if you think about the way our bodies were designed, they were designed to, you know, be mobile outside and do different tasks and not repetitive all the time.
Yeah.
We kind of created those sports that caused the dysfunction in those ways. But also, you know, it's different to, you can, we're not getting younger, right? Every day we're getting a little bit older. So there are certain things that start to be a little different when we're older, like maybe balance, maybe our muscle density. But what we don't have to do is age the way people think we should age. So you can still be older, but that doesn't mean that you're aging faster than you need to. And that's where keeping these, the body moving well, is just going to allow you to feel that younger, because everything's working, you know, everything's working pain-free.
Right. So going back, sort of jumping off what you talk about with like other sports and stuff, I know that you do, you know, work with, you know, the crew team and things like that. Do you find a correlation between, which I know that's one of the biggest benefits that I've seen since working with you, you know, on a regular basis, taking yoga and continuing to do CrossFit, is that I think there's this focus of the big muscles, but not necessarily the stabilizing muscles.
Yeah.
And so do you find, is that an education piece that you think needs to continue to be, you know, out there to people that understand that even young people, it's, you need to focus. Yeah. You want to focus on those physical, bigger muscles, but if you don't have the stabilizing muscles, whether they be in your abs or your back or wherever they be, it doesn't matter how big your muscles are if you don't have the stabilizers.
Yeah, I think it goes towards a couple things. I mean, one is society. I mean, society makes you think like you've got your glutes, you've got your hamstrings, you've got your quads, your calves, like those bigger major muscles in the legs, right? And those are fine. I mean, we want those strong. The problem lies when we only use those muscles, right? Like we only engage the gluteals for every action we do in the legs, and then let the thighs and quads kind of, or the thighs and hamstrings kick in. We do stuff where we're like, okay, we'll start with just moving the pelvis. What muscles start that movement, because you have the stabilizing muscles and then you have the movers. And so we do have smaller movers like the abdominals and hip flexors that are going to start to move the pelvis. And it's not until like the very last, like a hip thrust. So people in CrossFit would know, you know, this hip thrust is when you would then need all your glute power to get you up, but we wouldn't need that all the time. So it's like, we're training our bodies to just like turn on these muscles for every single action that we do, instead of like, maybe if you can't get up with a hip thrust or a bridge pose for yoga, you're going to then get the glutes going, right? So start with the ones that like more react to, okay, I'm doing this action, and then let it kind of layer on. And I don't think people layer on the movements. And again, that's when things get tired. And what your body is a reactive system. So it's going to react better when like glutes aren't always like, and you know, glute strength is great, but when it's affecting your pelvic floor, which, you know, many women have pelvic floor issues, incontinence, prolapses, different things going on, sacroiliac issues, you know, clenching your glutes all the time is not going to fix that. So we just look at more of the intricate pieces of movers, stabilizers, and when they sort of kick in. So that's sort of the piece that I think is a little different. And it's more like somatics. Like, what are you feeling? Because we want to go towards a feeling, a sensation. We want to go towards like I feel like my hip is moving. I feel like the hips are up the highest they can go. Let me go more. And then what we've run into is just problems where you're going up more, but you're not realizing that now you're taking your lower back into the equation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
this is so fun to talk about, huh?
it is. Well, cause I think the hips stuff that's always been an area that I have had an issue with. And, you know, specifically for years of doing, you know, just bad movement, I was recruiting the wrong muscles to do movements, and then it becomes muscle memory. And then my body just cheats to do. And so I've learned, so even being able to get my body to get to tilt my pelvis, I had almost gotten so I couldn't do it because those muscles that would allow me to do that were weak and my other muscles would just take over. So even being able to rock my pelvis back and forth, I had gotten very inflexible to be able to do that. And so in the 6 months that I've been doing yoga, like I can actually do it now. Whereas you before can. I was almost like incapable of doing that simple movement that should be a free, like you should freely be able to move your pelvis back and forth, but I wasn't. And because everything in my back was so tight all the time, as were my hamstrings, because they were in this protective mode of needing to thinking that I was going to be injured. So they were always tight. Like, so my back was tight and my hamstrings were tight. So I think, you know, people just learn to live like that.
They just learn to live with it. Like, oh, I'm aging. So this must be the type of tightness that I'm supposed to feel, but you don't have to live like that. Your pelvis definitely was stuck. It was just stuck. It didn't know the other direction, but can you tell? You have so absolutely. Much more mobility. Yeah.
No. So like today in class, when we did that specifically, like I couldn't probably do that 6 months ago. Like the just being able to go from one position to another position, like people would, they would like, I even went to PT and he'd be like, you know, rotate your pelvis. And I'd be like, I can't, I literally can't, because I was just, it was just, you know, years of not being mobile or not focusing on that area. So, and it, you know, it is a generation of sitting all the time. Like I'm not the only one who sits for 8 or 9 hours a day. And we were just never meant to sit for those long, long periods of time.
But if we have to, now we know the tools to kind of help assist to undo some of it, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of it is now you have all these ways to undo it. And yeah, I actually love, I wanted to tell you today, even just laying flat, you know, your pelvis would be stuck in that position and your legs would even be a little lifted, right? Just by laying flat. But today I even noticed that it was like, everything was just settled so much easier.
Yeah. Like when we, even at the end of class, I would never be able to, I always had my knees, my legs bent because laying flat on my back with my legs out was not a comfortable position for me. And you could clearly see I had a significant arch in my lower back because of the way my pelvis was positioned, and it's slowly it's getting better. And I feel less and less pain on a daily basis because of all the work that we do every day in that area. So like, I'm excited to see like 6 months from now that like, will I be able to just lay on like on my back and not like, There are days like today was one of them where I was able to lay on my back with my legs down and I wasn't in pain. There certainly are days that I am tight and I go in and I can't, but it is a huge, huge change in how I feel, you know, from the summer to now.
Yay. I mean, that's awesome. That's what it's about. 6 months is not a long time.
No, I mean, I was literally in chronic pain in my lower back, sort of across my glutes, because they were always fired up because of the way my pelvis sits, because I sit so much, I was overstretched, I'm overstretched in the back and loose in the front. And that comes from years of just bad movement. You know, I think I've had an office job for 25 years. There was a period of time where I wore really stupid shoes, where I was always wearing heels that, you know, but again, like it's all stuff that you do when you're younger that you don't realize, like, yeah, they were really nice looking shoes, but like walking around with my feet up and like basically in high heels all the time was not probably the smartest thing for me to be doing.
But what's great is that we can undo it.
Yeah.
We can undo a lot of stuff, which is awesome, because if it's just muscular, you know, muscle pull skeleton, but if we can realign the muscle and get it strong, like we're talking, you know, for people that have never taken my type of class or know what Deb's talking about, you know, the classes aren't easy. I wouldn't say they're easy at all. Like
they're challenging. Like it's they're challenging both physically and mentally, because at times I have to be consciously telling my body to move in a way because it's not used to moving in that way. Even
but
like
it's
shoe
like
moves,
doable.
It's doable. Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's like little increments, but they all add up. And so, you know, it would be awesome if we were just always practicing the one thing we're awesome at, but it wouldn't benefit us long-term. So we're trying to pick those things that like, okay, so we wouldn't want to just like loosen up your back, glutes and hamstrings. We want to get the front side more mobile and the backside less engaged. Right. So like we're sort of looking at that 360 degree approach. But I would say that, you know, there are reasons for people to be some, depending on the sport you're in or the job or like what you're doing. I mean, I wouldn't like an Olympic weightlifter or an Olympic CrossFitter, you know, some of this stuff I might not do because they need to be completely braced for the heavy amounts of weight that they're lifting, you know? So I wouldn't want to make them, I want them to still be mobile, but they're going to still have these areas that have to be like rock solid, unmoving to stabilize like the heavy, high levels that they're doing. However, for the general population,
yeah,
which encompasses like the rest of the 95% of the population, the people I see, what we do works for everybody to just be able to pick up the same hobby you're doing and it just gets easier. Like, I don't know, how is skiing for you this year? How has it been this year? Has it been different now that it's been?
Yeah, no, it is different because I have less tightness in the hip, my hip and lower back. So, I mean, I've learned, like I was probably a constant level 4 pain. And but it was just years of just, it's a combination of multiple things and me not focusing on it. But it took me finally being tired of being in pain for me to say this summer, okay, I'm just going to try this. I don't think it's going to work, but I'll try it. And then I went and I was so surprised that it was so science-based. And that there was, you very clearly articulate what we're doing and why we're doing it. And that by us doing this, we're allowing for easier movement or better, you know, movement between each of the body parts. And it just clicked because I was like, oh, like I get it. Like I get why I need to strengthen, you know, why I need to be strengthening the front, my stabilizers on within my abs is actually going to help my back. Mm-hmm. And so like when we do,
but it's not sit-ups like people.
No, but like when we, yeah. So when we are on our stomach and we lift up and I'm like literally physically shaking because those are all muscles that I'm still developing.
Like, yeah, we're just
I want to look around in class to see if other people are shaking like I'm shaking because
we're all shaking. But, don't worry.
but I understand the importance of, you know, of what those stabilizer muscles in the front are also, they're helping my back as well.
They are, because that's the transverse abdominis that wraps around the back as well, and that's going to help, you know, sling in the organs and help our posture. I mean, they're really important ones. And yeah, I mean, it's not fun while we're actually in it. but it's like we do it different ways every time. So it's like, you don't get bored of it. It's like, you don't know if we're going to hold it or if we're going to do repetitions of it, or if we're going to do, you know, different sets of it, or it becomes part of a flow, you know? I mean, that's the thing of it, is that doing it different ways is really what helps it even better long-term. Is not getting it strong to a point and then stopping and just keep doing that same thing over and over. It's we're doing something different every single time, approaching it differently, approaching
yeah, absolutely.
It standing, sitting, lying down. Yeah.
And different, you know, we focus on different ab muscles within that whole region versus if all I did every day was do sit-ups or crunches, I'm only actually impacting a subset of what's, you know, so, you know, when we're doing things and we go all the way up, you know, all the way up to the top, or from the front all the way down to the bottom. Like, so we're, depending on what you're having us do, we're at some point, you know, hitting all those different areas. Versus if I'm just doing sit-ups, I'm only
doing maybe really, the rectus abdominis, yeah. Or yeah. And those are superficial muscles, right? Like, those look nice. We all want to see six-pack abs, but you know, even when I was working with the crew team last year, there were two kids that went to nationals, and Jacob was one of them, my son. You know, they're both extremely muscular. I mean, when you look at them, every part of them looks like an Adonis, you know, that oh my God, I want this body, but there were parts of their bodies that didn't move at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know lots of people who, like, same thing, go to CrossFit, and to look at them, they have a six pack, mm-hmm. but then they complain that their back hurts or what, and you know, it's because they don't have the right muscles to support the structure. They have really nice looking muscles, but not necessarily the functioning, supportive, stabilizing muscles that help support their whole, you know, their whole being.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, that's more important. I would rather live pain-free and look somewhat muscular. You know? Yeah. What's that meme that you put up? Like, I look fit. I'm a cross between looking fit, but also if you offered me a cookie, I wouldn't say right. No.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Well, and that really is, like, it's why, like, I try to be physically active in, like, so whether it be walking or skiing or hiking or now doing yoga or CrossFit, like, I think that isn't that, I mean, that's the goal, is to not be sedentary, right. And to be that way as long as you can. Like, you don't want to be going from, you know, functioning to then in a wheelchair or housebound because you can't get out to even go to the store. Like, yeah. That just seems like the most horrific way to live. Mm-hmm. So I think what you do and how you teach this whole preventative and making sure that people, like we said, like, you can continue to do everything you want to do. And as long as you can, like, into your 70s and 80s, like, whatever it may be, because mm-hmm. who wants to just be housebound?
Nobody. Nobody wants to not move. I mean, everybody wants to be well for a long period of time. You know, I wish more people came to me for preventative maintenance before stuff happened, but usually we're like the last place that people go, which I'm fine with, but it just takes longer for the journey versus if we did preventative maintenance, then you're just more well before that. I mean, I've heard this a lot, you know, like, I reached up for something and then I got a frozen shoulder. I reached around to the printer and my back went out. And it's like, that's not the action that caused that, right? What caused that was like years of improper movement, that your body had enough with that one activity. And our bodies are so robust. They should be able to handle quite a bit.
It is true. I mean, because a lot of times what people say that, well, they're like, oh, I threw my back out. Well, what you expected, they did something like really big and like they were moving a car or something. And they're like, no, I bent down to pick up my socks and they threw their back out. Like
something was rolling off the counter and they quickly went to get it and their bodies couldn't handle that. I mean, we are so much more robust than that. We should be. And if we aren't, we just have to like work at it. We just have to prepare for it. And I mean, you're talking, you do 1 hour a day of this. And then, I mean, you're so highly energized. I feel like you're like me too. That's another reason why I want to have you on here, was because you'll leave and then you're like helping your mom plant plants. And then you're off making a chili and then you go for a little hike. And then you're like, well, I'm going to ski later too. You know, you're like not stopping. You're not letting life stop you versus doing the one thing and then having to rest the whole rest of the day.
Right.
Yeah.
No. And I think, you know, it's a great way to start the day. And that's why I like so much that most of your classes are in the morning, because it's like the start, it's you're priming the pump for the rest of the day. It's not the activity of the day.
Right.
It's just like the start.
Yes. Go, sister. Okay. Did you have other questions for me?
No, I think that was like most of my questions. I don't think I have sort of anything, I think anything else.
So someone told me that this was kind of the arc of a student, and tell me what you think. So they start and they're like super gung-ho. They're like, I'm going to try this out. This is my last resort. Or like, I'm going to try this. I've heard yoga's great. And I'm going to do it. And then there's like a honeymoon phase. And then it's like, ooh, this is too hard. I don't think I can do this. They sort of hit the bottom and then they have to be kind of encouraged to come back. So I don't think you're at that point, right? It seems like you haven't.
I would say, and maybe because I'm older, I'm not old, but I see the benefit that this would, what started out was really, I'm only going to do this once a week. Mm-hmm. To now it has gotten to, I would prefer to do it every day. I don't do it every day because life doesn't allow it, but I also miss it when I'm not able to do it. So if work gets in the way and I can't go,
like 5 to 6 times a week.
And I really, cause I really like it. For me, it's a great start to the day. Like I said, I mean, I do work from home right now, which is mentally challenging for me. I don't necessarily like, so even though it's not necessarily a social, but there are connections that are made, even though I, for the first couple of months, I really didn't talk to anybody there, but it is a social, you know, there are connections made and there just are real benefits of, it's a great start to the day. I go into the rest of the day much better than if I just get up and shower and sit down at the computer and do my work. It was a decision I had to make, and I let my work know that I'm like, hey, I'm going to start my day later. I'm not going to take what would be like a full lunch, and I may work a little bit later into the evening. So I get everything done, but I said, this is for my mental health. This is how I would prefer to start my day, because it does mean I start my day later. Normally I would start work by 8 or 8:30. And so in order to accommodate this, I have to, it makes me start later, but it pays dividends like every day that now I don't see myself going backwards. Like, and that's just because right now for me, I make it a priority in my life because I see the benefits, but I understand that does, you know, for people life just, it's easy to just, once you stop doing something, to just stop doing it. Mm-hmm. But if you continue to appreciate the benefits that you get from it, then you're more apt to make it a habit. And then that habit just becomes part of your regular daily routine.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, when COVID hit, a lot of the teachers didn't want to stay teaching because they just didn't know how to use Zoom or they weren't really savvy with electronics. And so I ended up starting to teach every day. I had finally gotten to the business to a point where I was only teaching, you know, maybe I think I was only teaching like 3 or 4 times a week, not even. And like some were the morning and some were night. And then it got to, I was teaching just every single day. And I taught every single day for a full year with no days off. And then this year, you know, I've had certain days off just for life and all that. Right. But even me, the routine of being there every day and being around this community, I've just been the most joyful. I mean, I've always been happy, but this, I have like even more joy to exude because it's this habit of having that as the start of the day. Yeah.
And I think that I was closed to the community piece, I think initially, because I had a mindset of it wasn't for me. And that I was doing it because I needed to. But once you allow yourself to open up to the community piece and the other softer pieces of it, you know, it's why I've tried, you know, I've started to go to, you know, I attended the class you had at the beginning of the year.
And I
attended the crystal bowls, the restorative, like all of those things. Like a year ago, if you would ask me if I was going to do that, I would be like, no way.
I mean, I get it. We're weirdos, but.
Because I think people have this perception of us, what yoga is. And
I mean, and it is that way other places.
Yeah.
It could be that way other places. And that's great. They're following like a strict plan of what traditional yoga is and only teaching traditional. The problem is those traditional pieces can't be taught unless there's this bridge. So if you do my yoga every day, you could do a traditional yoga class and be fine. The problem is I can't consciously teach something that I know everybody can't do. And I'm not going to just like teach a choreographed thing. Cause a lot of those methods are specifically like you do this step and that step and this step, right? And you keep to the script. And I can't teach like that. No, when I'm looking around, seeing that people need something different.
Right. Yeah. I think that the reason that people, at least the community that you have, they are going for that longevity. They're going because they want to continue to be moving for years to come. And they've seen, and I've listened to many people over the last 6 months say like they couldn't wait to come back though, because they've already seen that they're losing some of that mobility or that being able to just freely move and live life, because life got in the way and they haven't been able to come.
Yeah. So could I ask you some questions maybe about something maybe you learned that you didn't know about? And maybe we'll go by like chunks of the body. How do you feel fine about that game?
Sure, we can try that.
Okay. Upper body. What is something about the upper body that you didn't know about, but know now since coming?
I knew functionally, like I think you just, the way you teach in is just, it puts it all, the connective piece is the way you teach the classes and how with the upper body and the, how we, it's so easy to cheat and to utilize your back when you should be just utilizing your shoulder or letting your, you know, when you're asking us to isolate and then you have to remind us to straighten our elbows because because people, the tendency to allow our bodies to cheat is so there, it's all the time. And so I think,
I wish I was, there was another way to say cheat, because it's, I do say that a lot.
but I think it's true. Like, and you don't even know it until you say straighten your elbow. And I would say to you, it is straight. I would say, no, mine is. And then you say it. And then I straighten it a little bit more and I realize, oh, it actually, okay. It wasn't. And so I think that's the biggest piece of that I've really enjoyed is the isolation piece of, like functioning. Like I knew the muscles because I CrossFit and I know because I've had to build on a lot of those muscles over the years. But again, if you're lifting something heavy and you're moving it fast, you are going to use a lot of muscles. You know, you might not be using one muscle to move it, but multiple muscles. And so what I've really enjoyed is that very specific isolation of we're going to do this and then this and then this. And then you allow yourself to realize, oh, but I'm really using the something else when I shouldn't be. And so I think I would say that's across all body, you know, the whole body, not just the upper body. I guess specific to the upper body would be the breathing piece. Like the impact of breath on sort of all the inner organs is the piece that I had sort of never, I think I always knew that breath was an important part of life. I guess I didn't realize how poorly I just breathe, like that I never really focused on it. And now I do, like, I do see what poor breathing or efficient breathing, the difference.
What it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to when you said speeds, I mean, we do try to practice different speeds too, but it's better to isolate and then figure out what's not working and then add just the rhythm. You know, if we do something fast, do all the muscles kind of fire and trigger and map extremely well, and they get faster and faster and faster, so that, yeah, eventually if you wanted to lift up a heavy weight quicker, it should work much easier.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I would agree.
Much better. Yeah. The breathing piece is, when I was learning about the pelvic floor, it was like more things were kicking in as to how much it related to the, you know, breathing has to affect the pelvic floor too. And our society tells us, like, suck in your belly or brace, you know, we're always bracing for something, which takes the whole, you know, abdominal system and tightens it. And it's like, it's better when it's like able to react instead of just being braced all the time. And then that does cause poor breathing. Yeah.
Right.
What about, is there anything about the nervous system that you didn't know before you started?
I think one of the, it was a while back when you, we had a class, it was one of the Tuesday or Thursday, you know, the strength classes. Strength,
yeah.
And you made mention to dry mouth when your body gets, it thinks that it's in danger. And I never noticed it before. And I do actively notice it. Like if we're doing something and it's something that, you know, to the point where my muscles are almost cramping, like I can, then I do get that sort of that dry mouth
piece. Yeah. Interesting.
Because,
right.
Yeah. Because it's your body like sensing that it's in danger. And so it is interesting to, and because I do have, you know, tightness in my hamstrings, I will oftentimes notice it then, like when we're doing things that we're in gait, like you want that you want the hamstrings to engage, that's oftentimes like, well, that when I'll notice it is that, so my nervous system is saying, okay, what are you doing? Like, are you putting me in harm's way? So I thought that I was, you know, I do like it. I never thought of it. Like, and people never do that. Like outside, like when the whole do something and then let your body get acclimated back. Like it's I just don't think it's really something that should be extended to all sorts of sports and physical activity. Like, you know, you train your muscles to do something and you tax your nervous system. And then you need to say to yourself, okay, I'm not in danger. I don't have this, like, you know, I don't have to be stressed. Like I'm not being attacked. You know, don't send the cortisol, like don't be like getting up.
I'm okay.
Yeah. Like I think you do. And so I think that is an interesting piece that I have never practiced before.
Yeah, it's interesting to just know what's, I think we bypass those signals of the body and to start paying attention to them. Like, oh yeah, every time I feel threatened or my nervous system feels threatened, or most of the time I get dry mouth, you know, during it. And it's just like, okay, now I know how to counteract that. It's not a bad thing. It's just like, okay, you've gotten your body into a stressor that it feels unsafe. Great. That's fine. Cause we want, you know, we want to be in both. We want to be in and out of both all the time, but then do you want to stay in that state where you just keep going and going and going and the mouth keeps getting more dry, right? So right. Yeah, I like how you say reacclimate. I may use that in class now, that term. I always say integrate, but reacclimate is much better. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before I let you go? Is there any like parting words of wisdom for anyone listening?
I don't think so. No, I think, no, I'm still very much sort of learning, and enjoying it. I do. I find it to be, you know, an important piece of my day. And so it's something I never thought, I really never thought that I would enjoy, but really do. really do enjoy.
I'm so glad you do. I'm so glad you gave it a shot because, you know, you're pretty cool and we enjoy having you in there. And I'm just so glad that you're getting something out of it. I mean, that's the point, right? Is like, are there usable pieces that you can use in your day to day?
Yeah. And I think there is. I think there's like, it is, it's not yoga or it should be yoga and
yeah,
it's yoga and whatever else you want to do to be physically active. It's an additional piece to make it so that you can do, whether you play golf or you do CrossFit or you go ice skating or skiing or whatever, it makes it so you can do any of those other things better.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate this. I know I was pestering you and then we had so many scheduling issues and link issues, but I really appreciate that you wanted to do this because I think it's really important for people to hear kind of a student side, a student's
absolutely,
and be able to ask the questions, you know? All right. Well, thank you so much, Deb.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I do hope that you found this podcast helpful and that there's something that you can take away from it that will really improve your life physically, mentally, and emotionally. I do these free of cost for you all and hope that it's a good resource for you. If you are looking for anything Ohana related, feel free to check out our website, ohanayoganh.com. Thank you and have a beautiful day.